John Marr's psychological thriller You Killed Me First delivers a masterful exploration of revenge, identity, and the destructive power of secrets. This novel has quickly become a favorite among thriller enthusiasts, with celebrities like Reese Witherspoon and Stephen King praising its intricate plot and shocking twists. What sets this book apart is how it forces readers to constantly question their allegiances, as seemingly sympathetic characters reveal increasingly disturbing depths. In a literary landscape saturated with psychological thrillers, Marr's unique narrative structure, where victims literally inhabit their killer's consciousness, offers a fresh perspective on the revenge genre that has captivated readers worldwide. At the heart of You Killed Me First are three women living in an affluent cul-de-sac whose carefully constructed facades hide dark secrets. Margot Rossetti, a former pop star from the group Party Hard Posse, lives with her Romanian dancer husband Nicu and his two children. Once famous, she now struggles with irrelevance and harbors deep resentment about her fall from grace. Her carefully maintained appearance and desperate need for validation masks a woman who will do anything to regain her former glory. Anna Kahn, a jewelry designer married to delivery driver Drew, appears meek and unassuming. She carries visible and invisible scars, self-harm marks on her thighs, and psychological trauma that manifests in her hearing voices. These voices aren't merely hallucinations, but the consciousness of people she's killed, who temporarily inhabit her mind before being replaced by new victims. Completing this trio is Liv, the newest arrival to the neighborhood. With her perfect appearance, wellness studio, and seemingly ideal family life with husband Brandon and their twins, she embodies everything Margot envies. Yet Liv's success is built on morally questionable foundations, from creating fetish videos to blackmailing a pedophile banker to fund her business. The novel brilliantly explores how these women's lives intertwine through friendship, jealousy, and ultimately deadly manipulation. What begins as typical suburban competitiveness evolves into something far more sinister as we discover the true connections binding them together. Their relationships form a psychological battlefield where past traumas and present ambitions collide with devastating consequences. Marr's masterfully demonstrates how childhood trauma shapes adult behavior through the intertwined histories of his characters. 25 years before the main events, a burglary gone wrong resulted in the deaths of Anna's parents and severe injuries to her brother Drew. This pivotal event created the fractured psyche that allows Anna to be inhabited by the consciousness of those she kills. A supernatural element that serves as both metaphor for trauma's lasting impact and the novel's central mystery. The novel meticulously reveals that Margot was one of the burglars who set fire to Anna's family home, an act that haunts both women for different reasons. For Anna, it became the catalyst for a decades-long revenge campaign against everyone involved in her parents' deaths. She methodically tracks down each participant, allowing their final moments to become part of her fractured consciousness. For Margot, the incident represents one of many secrets she's desperate to keep buried, manifesting in compulsive behaviors and an elaborate facade of normalcy that masks her deep-seated guilt. What makes this exploration particularly compelling is how Marr subverts expectations by revealing that Drew, Anna's brother and supposed fellow victim, actually facilitated the burglary by leaving a window open for his drug-dealing associates. This betrayal forms the emotional core of Anna's trauma and explains her complex relationship with her brother. Their interactions throughout the novel are laden with unspoken accusations and a shared history of pain, complicated by Drew's own guilt and subsequent attempts at redemption through his work as a trauma counselor. The psychological aftermath of childhood trauma manifests differently in each character, creating a nuanced study of post-traumatic stress and coping mechanisms. Anna develops what her therapist calls a dissociative identity disorder that can evolve as an extreme reaction to bereavement in adolescence, though she rejects this diagnosis. Her condition manifests in increasingly complex ways, from selective amnesia to violent outbursts and an inability to form lasting relationships. Margot buries her guilt beneath layers of self-absorption and entitlement, becoming a successful but emotionally stunted businesswoman whose carefully constructed life threatens to unravel with each reminder of her past. The novel draws powerful parallels between various forms of trauma response. Anna's supernatural ability to absorb others' consciousness mirrors the way trauma survivors often internalize their experiences, while Margot's materialistic lifestyle represents a different kind of dissociation. Their different coping mechanisms create a fascinating psychological contrast that drives the narrative tension throughout the novel, culminating in a confrontation that forces both women to face their shared past. Throughout You Killed Me First, characters struggle with questions of identity and authenticity. Margot's identity crisis is perhaps the most obvious. Once defined by fame and adoration, she now desperately clings to any semblance of her former glory. Her attempts to reclaim relevance range from pathetic, agreeing to humiliate herself on reality TV for money, to dangerous, her reckless affair with Drew. The novel's most innovative exploration of identity comes through Anna's condition. As she kills each person on her revenge list, their consciousness temporarily inhabits her mind. These passengers have distinct personalities and motivations, from her protective mother Navia to the vindictive Ayana. This literal fragmentation of self raises profound questions. Where does Ayana end and her passengers begin? Are her actions her own, or is she merely a vessel for others' revenge? Liv's identity struggles are more subtle but equally significant. Having escaped poverty through determination and morally questionable choices, she's created a carefully curated persona as a wellness entrepreneur and perfect mother. Her desperation to maintain this facade drives her to blackmail when her business faces financial trouble. Mars also explores gender identity through Frankie, Margot's non-binary stepchild. Margot's clumsy attempt to support Frankie through a public gender reveal party demonstrates how identity can be weaponized for personal gain. This subplot provides a contemporary dimension to the novel's examination of how we construct and present ourselves to the world. You Killed Me First brilliantly illustrates how comparing ourselves to others can become a destructive force that gradually erodes both rationality and orality. From the moment Liv moves into the neighborhood with her perfect house, perfect family, and perfect career, Margot is consumed by jealousy. This envy manifests in increasingly petty and eventually dangerous ways, from reporting Liv's orangery extension to planning authorities to deliberately hitting her with her car. The progression from social spite to physical violence demonstrates how unchecked jealousy can escalate from harmless resentment to dangerous obsession. Margot's jealousy extends beyond material possessions to encompass Liv's apparent contentment and purpose. She fixates on every detail of Liv's life, from her morning routine to her children's achievements, measuring her own perceived failures against her neighbor's successes. When she discovers Liv's wellness studio is struggling financially, Margot takes perverse pleasure in her neighbor's difficulties. This schadenfreude reveals how deeply comparison has warped her perspective, turning her into someone who finds joy not in her own achievements, but in others' misfortunes. The novel masterfully explores how social media and celebrity culture exacerbate these comparisons in the digital age. Margot obsessively monitors her public image, checking her Wikipedia page and searching for mentions of herself online. Her self-worth remains tied to external validation even decades after her fame has faded. Through detailed scenes of late-night scrolling and compulsive Google searches, Mars captures the modern phenomenon of digital self-surveillance and its toll on mental health. What makes this theme particularly effective is how Mars reveals that the objects of jealousy are often just as insecure as those who envy them. Liv's perfect life is built on blackmail and deception, with carefully curated social media posts hiding mounting debts and marital tensions. Her apparent confidence masks deep anxiety about maintaining her lifestyle and protecting her children from the instability she experienced in her own childhood. Even her pristine home, which so torments Margot, is revealed to be mortgaged to the hilt and maintained through increasingly desperate measures. The author weaves subtle parallels between the two women's lives, showing how they mirror each other's insecurities despite their apparent differences. Both are trapped in cycles of comparison, Margot with Liv's present success and Liv with her own impossible standards of perfection. By showing the gap between appearance and reality, Mars demonstrates the futility of comparison as a path to happiness and suggests that the energy spent measuring ourselves against others might better be used in genuine self-improvement. Revenge drives the narrative engine of You Killed Me First, with Anna's methodical elimination of everyone involved in her parents' deaths forming the novel's central mystery. What begins as a seemingly justified quest for closure transforms into something more disturbing as Anna's methods become increasingly brutal, from staged accidents to elaborate psychological torture. Her first victim's death by accidental drowning gives way to more overt violence, culminating in Drew's carefully orchestrated murder in his own home. Mars forces readers to question the morality of revenge through Anna's evolving relationship with Margot. Initially determined to kill her as the final name on her list, Anna finds herself forming an unexpected bond with her target. Their shared love of art, similar dark humor, and genuine emotional connection create a compelling dilemma. This complication creates moral ambiguity. Can revenge be set aside for friendship? Is forgiveness possible after decades of hatred? The author masterfully builds tension as Anna struggles between her growing affection for Margot and her lifelong mission of vengeance. The novel also explores how revenge can become a destructive cycle that spreads like a contagion. Anna's actions trigger counter-revenge from Liv when she discovers Anna and Margot have framed her for Drew's murder. Each act of vengeance spawns new grievances and fresh motivations for retaliation. The epilogue reveals Anna's ultimate act of revenge against Margot, killing her and stealing her baby daughter, which ensures Margot will remain trapped in Anna's consciousness forever. This final twist demonstrates how revenge can transcend death itself, creating generational trauma that perpetuates the cycle of violence. What makes this exploration particularly compelling is how Mars shows revenge consuming the Avenger. Anna's entire adult life has been dedicated to punishing those responsible for her parents' deaths. This single-minded focus has prevented her from developing healthy relationships or finding genuine happiness. Her carefully constructed false identities, elaborate schemes, and years of planning have left her hollow, a shell of a person whose only purpose is vengeance. By the novel's end, revenge has become her identity rather than merely her motivation, transforming her from victim to perpetrator in a tragedy of her own making. The psychological toll of Anna's revenge mission manifests in various ways: chronic insomnia, paranoid tendencies, and an inability to form lasting connections. Even her brief moments of joy with Margot are tainted by the knowledge of her ultimate betrayal. Through Anna's descent, Mars illustrates how the pursuit of revenge can become a form of self-destruction, leaving the Avenger as damaged as their targets. Throughout the novel, relationships form and fracture as secrets are revealed and trust is betrayed. The friendship between Anna, Margot, and Liv initially appears to embody typical suburban neighborliness: spa weekends, charity walks, coffee mornings, and elaborate dinner parties where wine flows freely and conversations remain safely superficial. Yet beneath this carefully constructed veneer of camaraderie lie layers of manipulation, calculation, and unspoken agendas that slowly poison these seemingly idyllic relationships. Anna's calculated befriending of Margot serves as a masterclass in social manipulation. She strategically positions herself as the perfect confidant, always available for emergency childcare, ready with a sympathetic ear, and quick to offer practical support, all while meticulously orchestrating a campaign of psychological torture designed to slowly unravel Margot's sense of security and self-worth. Her methods range from subtle gaslighting to elaborate schemes involving Margot's past indiscretions. Margot, for her part, views Anna primarily as an audience for her grievances rather than a genuine friend. She performs the role of the harried but successful working mother, carefully curating her image while using Anna as an emotional dumping ground for her marital frustrations and professional insecurities. Meanwhile, Liv cultivates both relationships with calculated precision, ensuring her wellness studio maintains a steady stream of clients through social obligation, while securing reliable playmates for her children through carefully orchestrated playdates and shared activities. What makes this exploration of friendship particularly effective is how Mars shows genuine connection developing despite, or perhaps because of, these ulterior motives. When Anna experiences a breakdown and self-harms, Margot demonstrates unexpected tenderness in caring for her wounds, momentarily dropping her defensive facade to reveal genuine compassion. When Liv is injured in the hit-and-run, both women step up to care for her children, cooking meals and maintaining routines with an authenticity that transcends their usual calculated interactions. These moments of real connection make the ultimate betrayals all the more devastating when they finally occur. The novel also presents a nuanced examination of marital trust through multiple relationships. Margot and Niku's marriage crumbles under the weight of her infidelity and his emotional distance, a slow erosion of trust punctuated by moments of attempted reconciliation that ultimately fail. Anna and Drew's relationship, built on the unstable foundation of shared trauma rather than healthy attachment, illustrates how past wounds can both bind people together and prevent genuine intimacy. Liv and Brandon share an unusually open partnership regarding their unconventional income sources, yet maintain strict boundaries around other aspects of their lives, demonstrating how trust can be compartmentalized and selectively granted. Through these varied partnerships, Mars illustrates how trust requires constant maintenance and how quickly it can dissolve when tested by circumstances or deliberate betrayal. The author shows particular skill in depicting the small moments that either strengthen or damage trust. Forgotten promises, kept secrets, shared vulnerabilities, and betrayed confidences, all accumulating to either reinforce or undermine these complex relationships. You Killed Me First poses difficult questions about how far people will go to protect themselves and those they love. When Liv discovers her business is failing, she resorts to blackmail rather than accepting failure. When Anna realizes Drew knows about her murders, she kills her own brother rather than risk exposure. When Margot hits Liv with her car, she leaves her for dead rather than facing consequences. These choices force readers to consider, what would I do in similar circumstances? How much of my moral code would I compromise to preserve my freedom, my family, or my reputation? Mars complicates these ethical questions by giving each character understandable motivations. Liv's desperation stems from her childhood poverty and determination to give her children stability. Anna's actions arise from profound trauma and a lifetime of untreated mental illness. Margot's decisions reflect her terror of returning to obscurity after experiencing fame's intoxicating heights. The novel's most disturbing ethical exploration comes through its examination of complicity. When Liv discovers Harrison is a pedophile, she chooses personal gain over reporting him to authorities. When Margot realizes children are in the apartment she's setting on fire, she flees rather than ensuring their safety. When Anna learns Drew facilitated their parents' murder, she continues their relationship for years before confronting him. These moments of moral compromise reveal how self-preservation can gradually erode our ethical boundaries until we barely recognize ourselves. A central theme of You Killed Me First is how our past actions shape our present circumstances, regardless of how desperately we try to escape them. Margot's involvement in the burglary that killed Anna's parents ultimately leads to her own death and eternal imprisonment in Anna's consciousness. Anna's campaign of revenge results in her becoming the very thing she despised, a murderer who destroys families. Mars employs a cyclical narrative structure to reinforce this theme. The novel begins with an unnamed woman trapped in a burning bonfire and ends with the revelation that Margot is now trapped in Anna's mind. This circularity suggests the inescapable nature of karma, that our actions eventually return to us, often in unexpected ways. What makes this exploration particularly powerful is how it applies across generations. Drew's betrayal of his parents leads to his own murder decades later. Margot's abandonment of children in a burning building results in her own child being raised by her killer. These generational consequences create a sense of cosmic justice that transcends human law enforcement. The novel also examines how we carry our past through physical and psychological scars. Anna's burn marks from the fire are mirrored by her self-inflicted cutting scars, physical manifestations of trauma that cannot be erased. Margot's psychological scars manifest in her desperate need for validation and attention. These wounds, both visible and invisible, serve as constant reminders that the past is never truly behind us. As the novel progresses, the distinction between justice and revenge becomes increasingly blurred. Anna initially frames her killings as justice for her parents' murders, but her methods become progressively more sadistic. When she suffocates Margot and steals her baby, she crosses a line that can no longer be justified as punishment for past crimes. Mars challenges readers to consider whether true justice is ever possible for certain crimes. Can anything truly compensate for the murder of one's parents? Is the legal system adequate for addressing profound psychological trauma? By positioning Anna's vigilantism against the backdrop of a justice system that failed her as a child, the novel raises uncomfortable questions about when personal vengeance might be understandable, if not justifiable. The novel also explores how justice and revenge are perceived differently depending on one's perspective. To Anna, killing Warren, Zane, Jenny, and Margot represents long overdue justice. To their families and loved ones, these deaths are senseless murders deserving of punishment. To the passengers who temporarily inhabit Anna's consciousness, their deaths represent both an injustice and an opportunity for their own revenge. This moral ambiguity extends to the novel's conclusion, where Anna has successfully framed Liv and Brandon for Drew's murder. From Anna's perspective, this represents a necessary act of self-preservation. From Liv's perspective, it's a profound injustice that destroys her family. By refusing to provide easy moral answers, Mars forces readers to grapple with the subjective nature of justice itself. You Killed Me First is ultimately a cautionary tale about the dangers of burying our darkest truths. Each character attempts to hide their secrets behind carefully constructed facades. Margot conceals her role in the burglary through years of charitable work and community service. Anna hides her revenge killings beneath a veneer of professional success. And Liv disguises the true source of her wealth through elaborate financial schemes and social manipulation. Yet these buried truths inevitably resurface with devastating consequences, destroying relationships, careers, and ultimately lives. The novel's title takes on multiple meanings as the story unfolds, each layer adding depth to the narrative's exploration of revenge and consequence. Initially, it seems to reference Anna's parents being killed first, providing the moral justification for her subsequent revenge spree. Later, it applies to Drew's betrayal of his family. His decision to sacrifice their security for personal gain, effectively killing their future together. In the epilogue, it gains its most haunting meaning, as Margot, in her final moments, accuses Anna, "You killed me first," suggesting that Anna's murder of Margot was the first step in a new cycle of violence that will eventually consume her too, just as it consumed those before her. This cyclical nature of buried trauma and inevitable exposure creates the novel's most profound message, that we cannot outrun our past actions, no matter how far we run or how carefully we hide them. The character's attempts at reinvention, whether through changed names, new cities, or manufactured personas, ultimately prove futile. The past follows them like a shadow, growing longer and darker until it eventually engulfs them. The only path forward is to confront our darkest truths and take responsibility for them, something none of the characters fully manages to do, leading to their collective downfall. The novel particularly resonates in our digital age, where the distinction between public and private lives becomes increasingly blurred. Through social media, carefully curated online presences, and selective sharing, people attempt to control their narratives just as the characters do. However, You Killed Me First serves as a chilling reminder that our secrets have a way of finding us, no matter how deeply we bury them. The digital footprints we leave, like the physical evidence in the novel, create an inescapable trail leading back to our true selves. In the end, the novel suggests that the weight of carrying secrets, the constant vigilance, the perpetual fear of discovery, the erosion of authentic connections, becomes its own form of punishment. The characters' desperate attempts to maintain their facades ultimately cost them more than confession ever would have, serving as a powerful commentary on the price of denial and the devastating toll of unacknowledged guilt.